The following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxie bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
Who need that? No, no, no. Alawa. Who need that?
Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Might as well just start calling this segment Corrections.
It's been a while since we had corrections.
Well, the nice thing is none of them are from Jay.
Hey, I think he just realized that other people would beat him to it.
Well, or, you know, he did. He said, you know that you guys are getting a lot of listeners when we have three emails correcting you on something before I get a chance to. So
exactly.
Greetings, everybody, and welcome to the Forcecast for March 16th, 2007. We are the official podcast of TheForce.net. RebelScum.com. I am Jason, and with me, always my best buddy Pete.
Happy to be here as always.
And well, let's just get right. Oh no, let's thank our good friends, Official Picks. They are the ones that make this show possible. OfficialPicks.com. You can check them out. That's Picks with an X.com. They are the official vendor, autograph vendor at Celebration 4. And with Official Picks, you don't have to worry about the authenticity or the quality of the autograph that you're going to get, because they're the guys. They're the ones. So check them out at officialpicks.com. You can also check their website out for a complete listing, as it stands right now, of the celeb signers scheduled for Celebration 4. So thank you to them. All right, we might as well get right to it.
A few errors.
The first one that's taking us to task is Jeremy, and Jeremy wanted to remind us that Shakti is a Togruta.
Yes. Right. I'm pretty sure he probably sent an email to George Lucas, too. Or at least he should have, because he was the one who forgot initially.
That's right. That's right. I forgot about that. That's right. So just so make no mistake,
Shakti
is a Togruta. All right. So we apologize for that. Pete, your turn.
No, actually, I believe it is still your turn.
Oh, well.
Grace Park.
All right. That's right. Grace Park. We mentioned her in relation to last week's story about the 10 hottest nerd babes or nerd crushes. Number one was Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia. And somewhere on the list was Grace Park. And I said she's the blonde on Battlestar Galactica. She's not the blonde on Battlestar Galactica. She is the lovely Asian lass. Yes. On Battlestar Galactica.
Boomer.
Yeah, here's the thing about Battlestar, and you know I've been watching it all year.
Yes.
Why do they all have two names? Because I know her as Sharon.
Yes. Well,
I mean, that's a lot easier for me to remember than Boomer. Well, I don't even remember her being called Boomer. Mm-hmm. I've only been watching this season, mind you, but
code names.
Yeah, so our apologies. And you know what's the ironic thing about this is that she is my favorite female character on the show. I think she's quite lovely, and I agree with her standing on the list.
Yes, she could still be there.
But I had no idea what her real name was. I do know now. Yes. I've Googled her several times.
Just to make sure you were right. Not for any other reason.
Moving on.
Yes, sir. Now it is my turn, and Andy was good enough to, after listening to the microcast and me talking about Republic Commando, he pointed out that I did say that this was the first appearance of the assassin droids in a Star Wars game, which is untrue. Because, as Andy points out, there were assassin droids in Mysteries of the Sith, the Jedi Knight expansion. Very true. Well caught. What I meant was General Grievous's bodyguard assassin droids. And I should have been a little bit more specific on that, but Andy was good enough to catch up for me. So thank you, Andy, for writing with that and letting me know. And and on the Grace Park and the Shakti things, Jeremy was just the first one to actually send that in.
Oh, good call.
There were several other people who were very who took very
It's been
much...
a week, and I'm we're still getting emails about the Grace Park.
Yes. So
no mean... We did not mean to offend.
And I should have corrected Jason, but again, I have no idea who she is. and I can relate her to the character a little bit, but it's like...
Yeah, you're not as into it as I am. You fell off the wagons. Hopefully this summer you'll get back on.
I've fallen behind, and you know, once you get behind, it's hard to run to catch back up.
Right. Yeah, especially with a show that's on every week.
Yes. Thank you for all the corrections, and we apologize. Please, we have made it very clear on this show that we do not know it all, nor do we claim to know it all. So if we do make a mistake, we definitely want to hear from you so we can correct it, and then that way everybody will know.
All right. And for you Canadian listeners out there in the Edmonton, Alberta area, the Edmonton Collectible Toy and Comic Show will be celebrating their fifth anniversary. And guess who's going to be there? Daniel Logan. Boba Fett from Attack of the Clones. This is going to be his first ever Canadian appearance. Funny thing is, I thought he was Canadian.
No, he is not.
But he has that accent.
Well, I believe that's Australian. Is he from New Zealand?
Yeah, he's a Kiwi, I believe.
Yes.
I didn't say anything wrong there, did I?
No.
You can say that.
No.
Okay. No, you can't? I didn't mean to be derogatory.
I don't know that that's a derogatory term.
I don't think it is. I think they wear that as kind of a badge. Yeah. Yeah, no. Okay.
Well, if we did offend anyone, please let us know. Yeah,
I'm sure
corrections section of next week's show.
Amen. Now, if you've been listening in the last couple of weeks, you know that Pete and I have been talking about these old PSAs. And now the one that I remember is the anti-smoking PSA. And if you don't remember this, here you go, just as a little teaser.
R2, you're on fire. R2-D2, you found a cigarette.
All right, I remember that being on Saturday mornings. I did not know that there was a drunk driving PSA. But there is, and if you can go over to StarWars.com and check out the video, but we've got just a little bit of a sounder here.
When friends drink too much, even in galaxies far, far away, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
I don't know. I think there's different rules in a galaxy far, far away, because I think there was a couple times where there's some drinking and driving going on. We know whoever was driving Jabba's sail barge was at least a little bit hammered.
Yeah, and Han going into that asteroid field, no one sober tries that.
That's right. That's one of those things where you go, hey, fasten your seatbelt. I saw this on a cartoon once, but I think I can do it.
Oh, well, anyway, but they're actually a hoot. I mean,
yeah, they're
one is from 1979. And it takes place in the cantina, which, well, where else would it take place, right?
Some people may think we've been drunk for the cantina.
All right. Let's keep it clean for the kiddies.
Yes.
Also, we wanted to bring your attention that there's an opportunity coming up to win a fan-made Star Wars Stormtrooper helmet worn by Glenn Borst in the Rose Parade. So you can pick it. This is a raffle, and you pick up your raffle ticket at Comic Quest comics, and they are, where are they? Gosh, you know what, this is one of those things where I could have sworn it was in here, but it's not. But you can check it out. We'll have the link on our show notes for the opportunity, and I would imagine it works like most raffles, or a lot of raffles. You don't have to be present to win. I don't know what the rules are, but it's your opportunity to win a Stormtrooper helmet.
I can't see a thing in this helmet.
So there you go. Those are some apologies and just some general updates for you. And speaking of updates, the countdown continues. Oh, we are so close to single digits. It's scary.
Yes, it is very
downright scary. And you know what I'm talking about, Dustin. We're scared. All right. Pete, where are we at?
We are at 11 weeks and counting. And as you know, and have hopefully been enjoying, we have been giving away tips for your Celebration 4 experience. And this week is no different. This week, more on our waiting line tips, because again, you are going to be waiting in line, and we'll have some amusing anecdotes about that in our special C4 episode, which will be coming out much later from here, but
not that much.
But for now, One great idea is to bring a book, comic book, mostly comic books and mags, to read yourself, but also to share with your friends. Now, this is something that I personally had some experience with, and it was a great icebreaker for people that were in lines. You could pass those books around, you could see them. The one that I had was the Star Wars Visionaries, which a lot of people hadn't seen yet. And as I was going through, we'd pass them around and talk about them, and
people were digging it.
People really enjoyed it.
It had that great Grievous backstory.
Yeah, the Grievous backstory was in there. So everybody enjoys that, and it's a good way to get to know the people next to you. And if you see somebody, go, hey, you mind if I take a look at that? Maybe they're a Forcecast listener, and they know this tip, and they'll be more than happy to share.
Oh, that'd be kind of neat, wouldn't it? Speaking of C4, though, we've got some more news here about autograph signing. It's been confirmed that all three FETs are going to be signing at C4. Jeremy Bullock, Tamara Morrison, and Daniel Logan this May. Also, it's the bane of all collectors' existence. Exclusives. Convention exclusives. Now, Sideshow Toys, they've been kind of coy about what their exclusives are going to be. But we know, I think they're throwing around that there's going to be three different exclusives. One's going to be a 1/6 scale figure. One will be a 1/9 scale diorama, part of that new diorama line that they have. And then there's another one. It's rumored to maybe be a Metacom piece. We're not sure. So keep your eyes peeled at SideshowToy.com and, of course, RebelScum.com for all the news as it breaks. And our good buddy, Charlie Ross, is confirmed for Celebration Europe. Not only that, but they've created a special 2,000-seat theater just for Charlie's show, the one-man Star Wars trilogy. Now, he's no stranger to running over there across the pond. He has actually performed his one-man Lord of the Rings show over there. But this is pretty cool. This is going to be a theater that's specially constructed for Charlie. And I'm telling you, if you haven't seen this show, it's just too cool. And it's belly laughs the entire way through. Funny, funny, funny. So make sure you check that out, those of you going to Celebration Europe. Also, as far as Celebration Europe is concerned, we've got some celeb confirmations here. David Prowse, Jeremy Bullock, Ray Park, Tamara Morrison, and Daniel Logan. So that's it for Celebration Update this week. We'll be back next week with another tip as we continue to count down the road to Celebration.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
The following announcement is brought to you courtesy of your friends at TheForce.net and RebelScum.com.
This is Sandtrooper TD0013 of a different point of view at ADPOV.net, and I need your help. On April 14, 2007, I will be taking part in the annual MS Walk on the Wild Side, which is a 6.1-mile trek beneath the Arizona sun, and I'll be doing it in full Sandtrooper gear. Now, until April 14th, the producers of this fine podcast you're listening to right now will have a link banner that says, Help TD0013 help those with multiple sclerosis. This orange and black banner will take you directly to my page on the MS Society's website, and there you can make a donation to the cause. From $1 to $1 million, anything you can spare would be most appreciated. For years you've heard me talk the talk. Now I'm going to walk the walk. For updates on my progress and debriefings after it's all said and done, keep an eye on my website at www.adpov.net. I'm TD0013. I'm from the Empire, and I'm here to help.
This is the Weekly Forcecast with Jason and Pete.
While my son's at fat camp, I cleaned out his room. How much will you give me for this?
Probably nothing, but let us see. Who? Handwritten script for Star Wars by George Lucas? Princess Leia's anti-jiggle breast tape? Film reel labeled alternate ending Luke's father is Chewbacca? Oh! Oh! I'll give you $5 for the box.
Sold.
The galaxy is listening.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
And your top story for this week, we bring some bad news. I think this is bad news. I was totally bummed.
I'm a little bit bummed, but I'm optimistic.
All right, I'm anxious to hear the spin on this one. The Force Unleashed, you know, this huge, enormous, multimedia campaign that we've been talking about that's going to encompass books and comics and toys and this video game that's going to be a movie without a movie. Yeah, we're postponing that. It was set for this fall. You know, there was a big sign at Toy Fair. 2007, the 30th anniversary in Force Unleashed. 2008, the animated series. 2009, the live action series. Yay! Yeah. Well, that didn't work out so well.
I think you're being a little bit coy about this.
No, I'm not. I'm being very specific about how I feel about it. You and I have both worked for a big company. I don't know how it compares to the size of Lucasfilm. I mean, certainly the department's responsible for this game, probably. I mean, so we know that these things happen, but this is a serious miscalculation. We're not talking about like a couple of months.
Well,
but it's a whole other year.
Yeah, all right. And we have to tell them The Force Unleashed has been delayed until spring of 2008.
You didn't miss it. Wait, did you just gloss over my bad impression?
I did.
But it's a whole other year.
Anyway. but it's going to be delayed until spring of 2008. And I had actually gotten an email from Chris Baker over at Lucasfilm, or LucasArts, rather. And he did confirm that it will be delayed. However, he did say it will be worth it. And I believe that...
what's he going to say?
Well, he's going to say, yeah, unfortunately, it's going to be delayed. That's what, you know, they would say.
I'm being harsh. We're
going to find out that there's something big that came across that was like, you know what, we got to wait for this. Because there's no doubt in my mind that if they set the deadline and... They wouldn't do it for anything other than something important.
All right, so they were shooting for November, and let's say, you know, at the earliest, it comes out in April, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's 5 months. I mean, that's a significant, you know, and it throws a big monkey wrench in the works for the folks at Hasbro, Del Rey, Dark Horse. I mean, of course, artists love when deadlines get changed, you know, in the, right. You know, they you know what I mean? When things get pushed back.
Grand scheme.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're like, oh, that takes some of the pressure off. But, I mean, we've seen from the photos at Toy Fair, we know that they've got the prototypes. And, I mean, they may not even be in production yet, but close to it for the figures. So it's going to be interesting. We don't really know at this point what the strategery will be with some of the other licensees and how they're going to, cope with this. But for now, Force Unleashed... It's delayed. They gotta have a good reason for this.
I'm crossing all my fingers, and I have faith that it will be something that everybody will say, well, you know what? Yeah, it was worth it.
I hope so. I mean, you know, come on, Chris, old buddy, don't let me down. All right, Disney guests announced, you know, that Star Wars Weekends 2007 will be upon us very soon, June 1st through the 3rd, June 8th through the 10th, June 15th through the 17th, June 22nd through the 24th. We'll host pairs of Star Wars celebrities, starting out with Warwick Davis and Kenny Baker, followed by Ray Park and Daniel Logan, and Jeremy Bullock and Peter Mayhew, and then Anthony Daniels and Bonnie Pac or Pace or Pace de Resistance.
Oh.
I played Aunt Beru in episodes 2 and 3. They're going to be there, so that's pretty cool. So, from what I understand now, I've never even been to Florida. That's very sad, I know.
Yes,
but. You know, we've had some Star Wars tales where people have been able to get up close and personal with the celebs at these Disney weekends. So it's probably a pretty good bet. I mean, if you're a big fan of any of these folks, and I mean, what a great crop. I don't really know much about Bonnie in terms of how she is with fans, but all these other guys. I mean, Warwick Davis is awesome with fans.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Bullock. I mean, the man walks on water as far as I'm concerned, and the way he treats fans. Ray Park is outstanding. Daniel Logan, great hit with the kids, really has a good time with them. Peter Mayhew, I've not really had much experience with, but I hear he's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Anthony Daniels, don't really know too much about how he is. I mean, he seems pretty all over it, but, you know, we'll hear. So if you go to any of these and let us know, because that's important to me is how they are with the fans.
Yeah.
And I'd say overall, there aren't too many grumpy Star Wars actors. And we're not going to name them here. There are a few.
we won't talk about them specifically. But.
Right. What we will talk about specifically is how many R2-D2 mailboxes will there be? That's right, R2. 320. You like how I did that?
Yes, that was fantastic.
300. Let's see. How many, R2? Yeah, 320. Now, if you do the math, that works out to roughly six and a few remaining per state. So what are your odds of seeing one of these? That's astronomical, right?
Never tell me the odds.
So what we want to do, now, this is very sketchy because we don't really have many details on this. I kind of took for granted that people know what we're talking about. If you don't know what we're talking about, the folks at the USPS, desperately trying to compete with FedEx and UPS, are going to pay homage to the 30th anniversary of Star Wars by kicking off a promotion this spring where they're going, and these are really, really cool.
They are.
It looks like somebody snuck into one of the warehouses at USPS. It doesn't look very ominous. It almost looks like all the battle droids lined up in episode one.
Yes.
You know, and somebody's crouched there like Qui-Gon, you know, taking photos. We must warn the Naboo.
You're right about one thing, Master. These mailboxes are going out pretty soon.
Anyway, so there's going to be 320 of these, and it's just basically a wrap or a decal that kind of makes the mailbox look like R2, and they are so cool. First thing I did when I found out about this story, emailed Dustin Roberts. I said, do you realize that theft of one of these mailboxes is a federal offense?
Yes, it is federal.
And if you've seen Office Space, you know what kind of prison you will go to if you steal one of these. So, so there's going to be about roughly 80 postal districts around the country that are getting four of these R2 boxes. So, you know, around 320 of these will be spread across the nation. You know, our source, our Bothan spy, so to speak, within the, quote, I'm doing scare quotes here, the Empire, says that you won't be seeing R2-D2 on every corner. They'll be placed only in high-traffic, highly visible locations. I'm guessing nothing in Canton, Ohio. I'm just going to throw that out here. They're like, Times Square or Main Street in Canton, Ohio, by the Hoover Company.
Right. Or hey, there's this place on 16th Street right by Pete's house. That's a great place.
If I see one anywhere near your house, I'm going to know exactly how you got it.
I'm actually just going to steal one and move it closer and closer to my house so they don't realize it.
Tell him, R2. All right, moving right along.
Don't get technical with me.
As you know, last week we had kind of a breakdown. Isn't this just our luck? You and I, listening to the George Lucas presentation at the Museum of Television and Radio, dealing with that horrible sound quality, I was killing my ears with headphones trying to, you know, did he say two animated series? Did he say? And a week later, boom, the official site comes through. Now, this is what StarWars.com should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they can do that nobody else can do, obviously, that you heard the sound quality. They have released an audio transcript of George at the event. You can hear it. The Hyperspace members get the whole roughly hour-long presentation, Q&A, and on the free side, they do have some highlights. And we've listened again, and he does specifically correct himself and say, two animated series.
Mm-hmm.
So.
The plot thickens.
Plot thickens. You know, all right, this is a crazy thought. This is crazy. Just put this together.
I'm with you.
Two animated series, he says. Now, there's been no talk of this.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we know that the folks working on the animation project and folks at LucasArts are kind of collaborating now for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have this big delay in The Force Unleashed. I'm just throwing this out here. Wouldn't it be cool if the two had to do with each other, if the reason for the delay is because once George, and you know, McCallum talks about how George is, he sees something and he just goes off on it, and mm-hmm. then he gets kind of obsessed with it, and is like, maybe he saw some animatics, some clips from the game, and he says, yeah, you know, let's make this a series. This is great. Let's make this a series. So then you'd have a series kind of taking place in more, you know, the OT timeline, the original trilogy timeline, and then one, you know, in the prequel trilogy timeline. What do you think?
It could happen. Although obviously,
I think there's no chance of this happening. But wouldn't that be cool? Now
it would be cool.
What's our buddy over at LucasArts, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Now that, Chris, if you're listening, and we think you might be, that would make it worth our while. So if it's not, you can, you know, totally take my idea. It's fine. Ring up George and say, hey, I was listening to this podcast. Yeah. You know the one.
Yeah.
And this was their idea. Turn The Force Unleashed into an animated series or a direct-to-video animated movie. All right, I'm getting way ahead of myself.
Let's get one series out and going before we turn this into a broadcast empire,
Good point. All right, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Okay.
Right. Now, George, as we know, he's not hurting for money, but it's always nice to know exactly where he ranks on this list. The Forbes magazine has released the billionaire list, and George is number 243. Now, this is one of those lists where it's okay to be towards the bottom yeah. of it, all right? So he's 243 with assets of $3.6 billion. That's a lot of money.
I expect to be well paid. I'm in it for the money.
Money is all that you love, and that's what you'll receive.
I have 20,000 Republic dactaries.
Republic credits are no good out here. I need something more real.
And it's going to cost you something extra. 10,000, all in advance.
10,000?
10,000.
10,000.
10,000.
10,000.
She's rich.
Rich.
Rich. Powerful.
Well, more wealth than you can imagine.
I don't know. I can imagine quite a bit.
Well, more wealth than you can imagine.
I'm in it for the money. 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 For the money.
Now, just how much money are we talking about? Again, $3.6 billion, and he beat out Steven Spielberg, who was only 287th on the list with $3.0 billion.
Do you think he called him and taunted him about it?
You know what? You saw Kevin Smith, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was in town. We really wanted to interview him. He had no time for us.
Actually, we just, I don't blame him.
No, we had no way of getting in contact with him. No. We really should have probably put the word out on the show. We didn't do that. We need to do that. We need to just be upfront and say, does anybody know Kevin Smith? Anyone? Anyone? So if by chance Kevin Smith is listening to this podcast or his friends are, tell him that we missed him when he was here in Akron. But you saw him, and he had some interesting things to say about, what was this, at Thanksgiving?
Well, yes, it was Thanksgiving that he got a phone call from Ben Affleck, who happened to be at Spielberg's. That's a different part of the story, but he was at Spielberg's for the Spielberg household for Thanksgiving. And at the end of dinner, George Lucas showed up, and they sat around and, you know, did what you do at Thanksgiving, but then they spent a couple hours looking at their own websites together. Which is just, it's one of those things where you go, of course they did.
Right, exactly.
You know, comparing it and all
I
that.
I just love the thought of the doorbell ringing, ding dong. You know, there's George. You know, what does he bring? Like maybe, you know, it's Thanksgiving, maybe a bottle of wine and, you know, like a plate of some, or a pumpkin
Skywalker
pie.
Wine.
Right, yeah, Skywalker wine. And so pumpkin pie is like, hey, you got any pumpkin pie? But anyway, you're wondering, well, how much money is this? I'll tell you how much money it is. George can just sit in his office and look out the window and say, I'm really not liking those power lines there. Be a lot better if they were underground. So he is offering to pay $900,000 to bury overhead utility lines to improve
the view,
right, from his tree-shrouded compound atop a knoll just north of Red Hill Avenue. So this is a area that he has, to be specific, this is where he's lived for 33 years. So, I mean, we're not talking about like his office. Well, that his office is his home.
Yeah.
I'll
take care of that.
Yeah. You know, the city's like, that's going to cost a lot of money, Mr. Lucas. We just can't do that. He's like, well, how much? He's getting the checkbook out. Yeah. How much are we talking?
He actually just gets out his billfold. He's like, $100,000, $200,000. Yeah.
No, the guy's like, you know, it's just like some utility guy. And he's like, $90,000. He's like, oh, okay.
All right.
He knows it only costs $50,000, right? Well, if you missed George at the Museum of Television and Radio Pete, tell them they're going to have another opportunity to see him live in person. This is pretty cool.
Yes, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, well known, is running a new feature a new part of its Great to Be Nominated series, which showcases Academy Award nominees for Best Picture that garnered the most Oscar nominations in a particular year, but did not win.
Win for Best Picture.
Right.
Specifically.
Right. You know, did win other things. But Star Wars will be featured on April 23rd to cover the year of 1977. It was nominated for 10 Academy Awards and did take home Oscars for art direction, set decoration, costume design, film editing, music, sound, and visual effects. Ben Burtt did receive a Special Achievement Award for the creation of alien creature and robot voices in the film. But it did not win Best Picture.
Robot voices? Are you telling me that gonk, gonk,
hey,
won an Oscar, but Lucas didn't, and the movie didn't?
Well, no, he didn't win an Oscar. He just got a Special Achievement Award.
Oh, the Special Achievement, yeah, no, right. Okay. Right.
And this is part of the Special Achievement now for George 30 years later.
Right.
And the nice thing about it is that George Lucas and, it says, many of his fellow filmmakers, not sure who it would is, but will be present for a post-film panel discussion afterwards. So if you are in that area, those go on sale April 2nd and $30 for film buffs. So
okay. Well, and you know who we're talking about, those of you who live in that area. I'm just jealous. And they live in that part. Is your phone ringing?
Yes.
Who is it?
Oh.
The girlfriend?
No. Oops.
Parents?
It was Chase Shepard. No. No, it was actually just an update on one of my many other jobs.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Sorry about that, folks, for another interruption.
What, you had it on vibrate, though.
Yes.
And you just got this funny look on your face, and I'm like, either your phone's ringing or we're going to stop this podcast right now.
Or I've got to run.
Now, keeping on the George Lucas theme, I have to hand it to the folks at StarWars.com for being willing to put this story up on the website. I mean, mm-hmm. It's available. They have a special deal at Hyperspace with Variety Magazine, and they anytime that Star Wars or George or anyone relevant to the Star Wars family gets mentioned in Variety, they post the story for Hyperspace members. It's kind of a cool thing. And they usually get a lot of really good stories. This one was particularly good, and I'm going to apologize in advance and say that my show notes here do not show the name of the writer. So check it out at on the Hyperspace, the paid site of StarWars.com. But I want to read some of this to you because this is good.
It is good.
I don't agree with all of it.
No,
but he says. Okay, as a huge admirer of the original Star Wars trilogy, we're talking a grown man with a toy lightsaber. All right, so he's a fan. Here's some free advice to TV executives. You know those Star Wars TV programs that George Lucas intends to produce? Think twice before buying them. All right, well, already he's starting off pretty strong, pretty harsh. But he says, now, Lucas made a relatively rare appearance in L.A. Saturday at the Museum of Television and Radio's Paley Festival, where he reiterated a strategy to keep the blockbuster franchise alive in strictly in television, with two series, one live action, the other animated. By the way, I have you know that even this guy missed the two animated series. Anyway, he says, yet for someone who has become a multi-billionaire, okay, 300 and some odd billion, Lucas sounds not just disenchanted with the theatrical world's bloat, but semi-delusional about the present state of television. Asked about his decision to shift to TV, he explained that in movies, quote, the risks are so high and the odds so great, it takes the fun out of it. By contrast, he said, in TV, nobody seems to care. You just get to do whatever you want to do. He says television has no critics, and if it does, nobody reads them. And, of course, this guy writing this is a TV critic, and he says, no offense taken, I've long suspected those angry emails are self-generating. And George went on to suggest that because of the lower stakes, TV is creatively liberating, including the freedom to be, quote, goofier. And he says, from the man who gave the world Jar Jar Binks, this does not inspire confidence. So, and he goes on. It's really, it's a good article where, but I think he's being a little overly sensitive because television is his industry. I think he resents the idea that, you know, someone like George Lucas with his money and his clout and his influence. I mean, let's face it. George Lucas is going to put a TV series on the air and probably be in the top. If it's on a network station, he's probably going to be in the top five at least. I mean, he's going to get huge numbers when it premieres.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to have to make its bones. Now, over time, it's going to have to prove itself because even Star Wars fans won't, you know, they're not going to come. They're not going to invest an hour every week or a half hour every week to something that's not any good.
Right.
So, you know, what's your take on this?
Well, and you and I have a lot of experience in that sometimes, you know, we personalize things when someone attacks the medium.
Right.
You know, or something along those lines. But even though I did agree with it a little bit, I understand what George Lucas is saying. And he does talk a little bit about how it kind of felt like the sequels were the prequel editions were something that he felt like he just had to get through.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, and, you know, I need to find that quote.
Yeah. Because... And you can find that while I spatter on. But said that, it kind of set off a thing for me that said, you know, I can understand that because there is something to be said about that, is that he wanted to go out and just have fun with this. But right off the bat, he was getting, you know, hit by the critics, hit by everybody else. Everybody had an opinion about what this was supposed to be, and it was never going to live up to the expectations that everybody had set for it. And there's something to be said for that. It's hard to be the big dog on the block.
Well, the TV show is no exception because, I mean, I don't know. I guess that my expectations are very high for the TV series.
And I think so too, but maybe we need to
kind of come down to earth.
Well, but
realize it's not necessarily going. It may not be the greatest sci-fi series to ever hit television.
No, it may not be. But it talks about as well about, you know, how networks will pour millions of dollars into pilots just so they can get
$100 million a year.
Yeah, into pilots, TV pilots, hoping to hit one or two big hits, a la Two and a Half Men. But I look around on TV, and there is a lot of just, for lack of a better term, crap. So there is a lot more latitude out there.
Exactly. I'm glad you bring that up.
To just not be the greatest thing ever.
Exactly. You don't have to be the best show on TV to keep... I mean, case in point, I'm not going to disparage anybody. If you like these shows, I'm not judging them because I've never really watched them. But the Stargate TV series, there's two of them, or at least two.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the greatest TV shows on the planet.
No, but they have a great following.
But they've been on forever.
And they've been on for quite some time, and people really do enjoy them.
And that's what he's comparing this to.
Right.
You know, George isn't out there looking to create the next West Wing or the next 24. No. It's
not going to be Lost or Grey's Anatomy.
No.
It's going to be
Battlestar Galactica.
A Star Wars TV series.
Well,
yeah.
Right. Or, I mean, but it's going to be among those lines of a Battlestar. Mm-hmm. This is the way I see it, or a Stargate. And the fact of the matter is, you know, this guy's a TV critic and he's second, you know, he's criticizing Lucas for second guessing, you know, his industry of how, you know, there's less pressure. And this guy is saying, well, but, you know, you sit in the ivory tower and you do this. And, well, this guy has no idea what George went through in creating these movies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you're talking about earlier, he says, I'm quoting here, perhaps most tellingly, following a clip reel of the Star Wars sextet, Lucas said, and this is again referring to his appearance at the Museum of Television Radio, that his first thought while viewing the package was how the movies were a lot of work. Now, if you listen to it in context, you know, they show this great clip, you know, of all six films, highlights, and they get done, and she goes, what do you think when you see that? And he just goes, it was a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the one thing about George which separates him from the Spielbergs and even the James Camerons of the world, George doesn't act like what he does is high art. He has no pretensions about, you know, he's not out saving the world. You know, he has, I think, a very good perspective on what he does. And to him, it's clocking in every day.
Yeah.
Going to work.
It's a job.
It's a job. Right. I mean, if you read any biographies about him, you know that, you know, conservative background in terms of his parents, his dad was a local, businessman, ran a, I believe, a hardware store in town, and, you know, meat and potatoes kind of guy, and I think that's the way George is. So this critic says, well, what he extrapolates is, well, that's all you see. He says his repeated emphasis on the pressure, criticism, and gambling associated with the latest trilogy helps explain why the movies were so joyless, an obligatory slog to get through and complete, lacking the elan or vitality of the originals. It's hard to imagine Sam Raimi, for instance, assuming the same hangdog woe is me posture about the Spider-Man movies. I also think that that's just George's personality.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. And
he doesn't get excited about anything.
No.
I mean, this guy, it's just his way. I mean, it's a joke amongst the actors that have been in his films, you know, faster, more intense, you know.
Right.
That's about as excited as he gets.
Yeah, and it is what it is. I mean, I think it was probably a labor of love, even though it was a lot of labor for him. And, you know, he did have to, you know, anytime he finished a movie, he knew that as soon as it got done, that it was just going to get panned. And some of it was going to be because people didn't like particular parts of it. And some of it was going to be just because he is George Lucas and people just want to tear him down.
Well, people were waiting for the movies to be flops rather than hits.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, aside from Episode 4, you know, there's this idea that critics loved these movies, or referring to the originals, or, you know, they were popular, but the critics, you know, Lucas has said the critics have always hated them.
Yeah.
He even had a t-shirt made. I love it. It's, he wore it on the set of Episode 1 a lot. It was like a dictionary definition of Star Wars. It's, you know, bad dialogue. Basically, it was one of the critics' reviews of the first Star Wars film. And, you know, he's like, I'm worth $3 billion, pal.
Right.
You know, so there's an element of that. Let's just come down to earth. Let's just get real here. Okay.
Right.
So anyway, it's a very interesting article.
It's it's a great read, and it's very well written.
Kudos. Yes. Very well written. And kudos to StarWars.com for posting it, because they, you know, it goes to show they don't just print the flattering stuff.
Yes.
Okay, and if you want to be the next George Lucas and create a fan film of your own, Lucasfilm has teamed up with Atom Films and Spike TV for the launch of the Star Wars Fan Movie Challenge. Now, this used to be called just basically the Star Wars Fan Film Awards, but they're kind of making this promotion with Atom Films and Spike TV, putting the call out for the Star Wars fan films that we're all familiar with that get made. And then, of course, the sixth annual Fan Movie Challenge Awards ceremony will be Sunday, May 27th in LA at Celebration 4. And there'll be opportunities to view all of the finalists. So make sure you get those films in there. You know what would be great? I don't know if I talked about this. This is just me, because, you know, I think it'd be kind of cool. But if somebody took the audio of one of our shows and made like animation to it, like that was their fan film, you know, us ranting. Maybe be ranting about not having any tolerance for people that don't know that Palpatine is really the Emperor. I could see that.
I don't see that as flattering.
No. It wouldn't be.
No, I mean,
it'd be funny.
Yeah. We have faces for radio, my friend.
All right. We've got a little bit of collecting news. And first thing here, Lego to give away solid gold minifig. A recent issue of LEGO Magazine announced plans for a new promotion. These are the droids you're looking for. Now, we don't have any details on exactly when this is going to be, or, you know, what the criteria is going to be. But the what's going to be included in the hunt are 10,000 gold medalized C-3PO minifigs that are going to be randomly inserted into boxes, the Star Wars collection. And then somebody is going to win, I think, a solid gold one.
Yeah.
So, oh, there's five of them.
Five
solid gold C-3PO. Now, that would be a cool talisman, wouldn't it?
That would.
But keep that in your pocket.
Yeah. That's one that if you leave it on the counter in the bathroom, you end up crying yourself to sleep for a couple weeks.
Well, and check out, yeah, really. And check out RebelScum.com for some more details, and as more details are unveiled. In the EU, we have some new books that are going to be released, thanks to Jay Shepard's Jedi Journals, keeping everyone informed at RebelScum.com. StarWars.com has some information about these two new books coming later this year. The first is going to be a preview of the Legacy of the Force number 6, Inferno, due on August 28th. So, it's big stuff happening
mm-hmm.
in the Legacy series. As you know, the Darth Who contest and all of that just amounts to a pretty good push. Now, good thing, because it's not like they have the Force Unleashed to lean on So you know, let's up the excitement around the Legacy storyline. Also, another book coming out, the Essential Guide series is going to continue with the Jedi versus Sith, the Essential Guide to the Force, in November. Now, this is going to present, quote, according to Jay, mystical the mystical energy field. What is he writing? Presents the mystical energy field. Oh, okay. I see. I should read this ahead of time, shouldn't I? It is what you'd expect. It's going to be just kind of a source book for all of the different theories regarding the Force, which I'm very much looking forward to, because one of the sidelines that fascinates me, and I even wrote a blog months and months ago about this, is the idea of the living Force that Qui-Gon speaks of in Episode 1, and then that whole concept seems kind of dropped with the other two films. And I think there's so much good information there. I mean, the fact that, well, go ahead and check it out, Jedi Swank's Wild World of Star Wars over at StarWars.com. I don't want to summarize it all here because it'll bore a lot of you, but I think that's it's a great little subplot, and it really, in my opinion, should have probably been a little bit more, but, you know, who am I? Again, I'm not going to second guess George. Who am I? Am I that critic from Variety? on sale today, or on sale this week as this podcast goes live, it looks like that Dark Horse is going to begin their celebration of the 30th anniversary with the first one of 12 hardcover books reprinting some of the best and hardest to find storylines. So starting this week, the release of a 2-issue series from Tales of the Jedi, the Freedon Nod Uprising, is going to be back on the shelves, according to Jay Shepard. After a 10-year absence, you'll be able to pick that up in a hardcover. So check out your local comic book shop for that. And finally, the last story. Pete, you want to talk to him about this one?
Well, in case you didn't think that Star Wars and sports ever did intertwine, all you have to do is listen in on this clip from the press conference of the DePaul University basketball team. We'll let them take it away.
In the next Star Wars remake, he's just been named, he's going to play Chewbacca. Okay.
Can you do the voice?
He doesn't need to. They don't have to do anything because he already has enough hair, okay, that he don't have to get him a costume.
He'd be one of the aliens.
Huh? He'd be one of the aliens.
Now, that was DePaul head coach Jerry Wainwright, and he was talking about forward Marcus Hurd, who has a pretty good hair collection going on him, and he was saying he could be Chewbacca, and then Marcus Hurd chimed in with, well, you'll be cast as one of the aliens to Wainwright. So
that's nice. I'm a little
so, of course, everybody knows Star Wars, and at some point it's going to cross
over. It's everywhere, and it is forever. How's that for a plug? All right, that is your news for this week. It's time for the mail.
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message, Arthur, the message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
It's a trick. Send no reply.
And we're going to start off with some Star Wars tales. Those voicemails keep coming in. We love to have those. And they're still coming in the traditional way, too. There's no problem with that. We've actually had a lot of people taking advantage of just emailing us an MP3. You know, you don't have to have, you know, expensive microphones or anything. Not like we do here at the ForceCast studios.
Yes.
Our palatial studios. But, you know, just the free microphone that comes with, you know, your computer or a headset that you use for gaming, you know, and then send us the MP3. Anyway, here is Josh from Colorado with his Star Wars tale. This is pretty cool.
Hey, guys. This is Josh from Arvada, Colorado. Jedi Schwa from the forums. I have quite a few interesting tales about our favorite galaxy far away, but this is my favorite. My Star Wars tale begins about 3 years ago, the year before Revenge of the Sith came out in theaters. My wife and I had an 8-year-old son and a 1-year-old daughter, and were expecting our third child sometime at the end of the year. We were having great difficulty choosing a name, though. We had a great boy's name, but couldn't come up with a name for a girl that we both liked. We've been going back and forth for weeks with names that we couldn't agree on. Then one day I came home from a toy excursion with my first Aayla Secura Unleashed statue, one of my favorite Unleashed statues, of course. As I was showing it to my wife, who fully supports and encourages my Star Wars habit, but isn't a fanatic herself, She saw the name emblazoned in fancy letters on the front of the package. Ayla, she said, why can't we come up with a cool name like that? Well, I said, rather cautiously, I like the name Ayla. Okay, she said, quite a bit quicker than I expected, actually. Okay, I asked, you'd name our daughter Ayla? Yeah, sure, why not, she said. And that was that. We never really discussed it again. And on the morning of January 1st, 2005, Ayla was born. It made it very difficult to watch the Order 66 scene in Revenge of the Sith that year. Well, it made that year even better than my daughter being born with Celebration 3, where I got to meet Amy Allen. I brought with me the very same unleashed statue for her to sign. I told Miss Allen the story of our daughter and showed her some pictures. She was extremely nice and took a picture of me with me to show my Ayla when she grows up. And my unleashed statue, it now says, To Ayla, from Ayla. Amy Allen. Well, thanks for letting me share, guys. Keep up the great work and keep making references to our favorite Twi'lek Jedi in the Force cast. Just make sure you're not talking about my Ayla. Thanks, guys.
And thank you, Josh, for that. That's a cool one.
Yeah, that's great.
And it's a great name.
Yes, it is a cool name. And congratulations on your third, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And what a cool wife you have. I mean, my wife is very cool about most Star Wars things. I think she would draw the line. She'd have to really like the name.
Yeah, it'd have to really resonate.
And my hunch is that Josh's wife isn't that cool. She just dug the name. I'm thinking if he wanted to name it Bausch. Sure, I did. I said it.
Yes.
That is the mark of someone that does not have children. And I don't mean anything bad about that. It's just, it's how I refer to, you know, to kids sometimes.
Yeah.
It. And it's terrible. You know, when people call my dog a she, now granted, he looks like a girl, but when they do, I'm like, no, it's he. It's he. You know, I can't imagine when I have a child someday and somebody calls it an it.
Yes.
It's terrible.
You'll be incensed.
I will be. I will be. You don't have any either, so I don't want to hear it. And finally, we've got another Star Wars tale here from Stuart in Washington. Take it away, Stuart.
Hey, guys. First of all, I just want to tell you, great job with the podcast. Just love it. My name is Stuart Dunn, and I am a graphic designer living in Seattle, Washington. And this is my Star Wars tale. When Star Wars came out back in 77, I was 9 years old. And I think it was the first movie I saw by myself. And kind of a rough time during that year. My parents were divorcing. And I think Star Wars was sort of an anchor that I glommed onto because my mom said I wasn't pretty much a different kid when I walked out of the theater. So after that, I just sort of became very interested in what, not so much the toys, but how the film was made. And just, you know, devoured the art of Star Wars till the pages were falling out. And then subsequently, you know, the art of The Empire Strikes Back and the art of Return of the Jedi, the Star Wars sketchbook. And then my mom got me this book about, it was called the Star Wars sketchbook. It was the all the production drawings and storyboards by Joe Johnston. And I just realized this is what I want to do. So I started, like, even drawing, you know, printing like Joe Johnston and eventually started doing storyboards. And when I was in art school, a storyboard teacher looked at my storyboards and he said, you know, your work reminds me of Joe Johnston. So that was like the biggest compliment in the world. So fast forward many years after the military and right around the time Jumanji was coming out, I was at Seattle Airport or SeaTac and I was flying down to see my mom. And my buddy called me up and he said, hey, I got to take you to the airport like an hour earlier. And I said, oh, okay. So he drops me off and check my bags in, get my Starbucks mocha, and I'm walking down the terminal. And it was just a madhouse in the terminal. And I'm walking and I see this guy in front of me. And, you know, he's about, I don't know, he looked like 6'2 or 6'3. And all of a sudden I realized, as I was sort of walking up next to him, I realized this is Joe Johnston. This is a guy that made me want to be a graphic designer and storyboard artist. And I don't get starstruck, but my knees started shaking. And I looked at him and I said, are you Joe Johnston? And he kind of stopped and he was very shocked that I knew who he was. Because you don't see this guy in Entertainment Tonight or, you know, E! And all that stuff. And he said, yes. And I said, you are the reason why I became a graphic designer and I'm not a stalker. So we stood there for about 20, 25 minutes just talking. And, you know, he gave me a little trivia about things. And he just a very, very genuine, nice guy. And I happened to be reading with me was a Star Wars novel. It was the Before the Storm by Michael Cube McNell. And, of course, I asked him, I said, can I have your autograph? And he wrote, "To Stuart, may the force be with you. Best wishes," and that great architectural style printing that I had adopted so many years earlier. And pretty much that was it. It was just, you know, just a wonderful experience. And, you know, what are the chances, you know, to meet someone that really inspired you? And, you know, I just felt like a kid again. So that was my Star Wars tale. And good luck with everything, guys. You guys are great. And it's just a pleasure listening to you guys. All right. May the force be with you. Bye.
It's a pleasure listening to you, Stuart.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
And Joe Johnson is often not given as much credit as he does deserve. Mm-hmm. You know, Ralph McQuarrie does get a lot of credit, and richly so. I mean, he is, you know, a great visual artist that kind of carved out this universe. Right. But Joe Johnston really added a lot to it as well. And if you haven't checked him out, you definitely need to go and look at his artwork as well.
All right. We do have a couple other Star Wars tales here. This one from Dave. Do you want me to take this one or you want to take the next one?
I could take the next one.
You want to take the next one or you want to take this one?
I'll take this one.
All right.
This is from Dave, and this comes from the aha moment.
Oh, right.
And that I mentioned last week. And
well, and very much like Stuart was saying when he saw that book,
mm-hmm.
with Joe's artwork. That was sort of his aha moment.
Right, exactly. He does start off by saying, and we'll talk about this a little bit more later, but he says, great podcast, March 9th. The story about the young dying boy before episode one really touched my heart. It should make us grateful we have seen the entire circle and be glad to be alive for the new stuff that is coming. My Nana was alive for all but Sith. And he says, he goes on to say, you mentioned the aha moment, and seeing that I am a writer, I thought I'd share mine. First off, my name is David, and I'm from Melbourne, Australia, and I've emailed you guys before, and thanks again, David.
Right.
I'm 25 years old and have always known my calling was to write sci-fi, and I've always really liked Star Wars as a kid, but it never really hit me as hard as it has now. I love it. To make a long story short, the aha moment for me was October 3rd, 2003. It was 3 days after I got my birthday present of Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. I was with Bastila Shan and HK-47 on Dantooine, and I had ordered HK to fire on the Sand People, because honestly, I hate them for what they did to Anakin's mother. And finally, when it was revealed that you are playing as Darth Revan, I was blown away. Ever since then, I've collected all things Sith. I love how you can see that the Sith aren't really evil. They are just seeing things differently, and it's kind of how this world is today. In Legacy of the Force, Jason is becoming Sith in order to save the galaxy. The way I feel about Star Wars is it's a living, breathing thing you can actually walk in. In the games, in the books, and the movies, they're all just stepping stones into another galaxy. I feel a connection to Anakin and Vader, and I do have one bugbear that I must share with you guys. I either saw a post or heard someone say, Luke brought down the Empire. That is untrue. Luke was dead. If it wasn't for Vader becoming Anakin again and choosing his son over all the power in the galaxy, the Empire would still be ruling to this day. Thanks so much for your time and passion. I think it is what sets apart the everyday fan to the Star Wars fan, and that it's the passion, and after all, passion is the way of the Sith. May the Force be with you, David. So, again, that aha moment, I think everybody has, maybe not a specific one, but there's always something out there that you can kind of remember that goes, you know, this is what really turned me on to Star Wars.
Well, and you still have these moments, you know, when you know you're a Star Wars, someone needs to write that book. You know you're a Star Wars fan when, and you had one, you were in the, in Best Buy, Best Buy.
When you go into Best Buy and you hear the faintest music in the background and you look around going, I know that's Star Wars somewhere. And it turns out it's on a speaker, you know, over your shoulder and behind you. And you look at your friend and it's just a sickness. I'm sorry. Right. I hear it everywhere I go.
Even when it's not really playing.
Yeah, well, that's completely a different story.
Now, Patrick from New York writes us with his Star Wars tale. He says, "Hey, Jason and Pete, thought I'd share a quick Star Wars tale with you. When I was a few years old, my dad bought the special editions." Oh, he's a youngin' here.
Mm-hmm.
"I had previously owned the original New Hope, but it came to its demise when I ripped the actual film out of the tape."
Whoops.
Yeah, I've done that. I mean, never on purpose, but, you know, those VCRs, they start to get old. Anyway, the first film I really wanted to see was Return of the Jedi, and wow, after seeing it, I was ready for more. The next morning, I took some of my little brother's diapers as armor and a helmet. In no time, I was a scout trooper. You know what? I never realized.
That's awesome.
It does look like a diaper, doesn't
it? It does, yes.
In a way. You should have seen the look on my face when I saw the preview for Episode 1. It just goes to show that Lucas saw the childhood of more than just one generation. Or excuse me, it just goes to show that Lucas saved the childhood of more than just one generation. And you, Jason and Pete, have brought to us a most excellent podcast. It's hard to be a Star Wars fan in middle school, but I like what Jason said about the jock being as obsessive as the geek. It's true. Peace out, Patrick from New York. Now, that's cool. This one really touched me because I would have to say probably the two worst years of my life were 7th and 8th grade. So, Patrick, if you're having any kinds of problems out there in junior high school, I'm with you, buddy. Get through it. People start to mature once you get into high school, because everybody gets kind of taken down a peg when you get into the high school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're no longer the top dogs and your ego, you know. And by the time you get to be about a junior in high school, the kids really start to kind of mature and realize, you know, this is like a real life we're living, and you know, I got to make plans for my future, and I'm really no better than this kid over here or that girl over there. So it does get better, Patrick.
And then you get to beyond that. And
oh yeah,
it's no holds barred.
Well,
everybody's got their personalities, and
right. But I mean, it gets better. It gets better. There is life after middle school,
and if there's anybody giving you trouble, we know people.
That's right. Sick of Gamorrean Guard.
That's right.
Who's laughing now, punk?
So thank you, Patrick. Now, we've got just some regular good old listener mail here. Here's a response to, again, Dean's Star Wars tale from last week. And if you weren't with us last week, go ahead and go to the archives and download that show, because Dean really told us a very touching story about being a nurse and caring for a young man who was terminally ill and almost made it to see Episode 1 and wasn't able to. And it was just a great story about the bond that develops between two Star Wars fans. This is from Andrew Myers, also known as Darth Meanders in the Force.net forums. He says, "Hey, Jason and Pete, I have to say, Dean's tale of the young cancer patient and his fight really moved me. I was wondering, if possible, whether you'd be able to pass along this message to Dean as a fellow Adelaidean to let him know that Star Wars is well and truly alive here and the fans are continuing to do good. Thanks, you guys do an amazing job, Andrew." So, yes, Andrew, consider this relayed to Dean. I know Dean listens to the show, and I'm sure he'll be happy to know that
we did get quite an overwhelming response to that tale, and rightly so, because it not only is a very touching tale, but it also embodies what we as Star Wars fans like to be about.
No doubt. And Rick from Ohio sends us another message thanking us. Here you go, Rick.
"Hey guys, this is Rick from Tipton, Ohio again. And I just want to let you guys know that hearing my Star Wars tale on the podcast last Friday really made my day. And considering that I just recently found out about getting recommended for Navy Officer Cannon School, OCS, for surface warfare, but yet being on this Force cast happened to be more exciting for me than my future career. I guess being such a Star Wars fan and hearing my voice on the Force cast really made me feel like part of something larger. Even though most of my friends and family think I'm a huge dork or nerd, etc., for feeling this way, but I'm still proud. Anyway, also, it looks like my wish for more shows came true so far this week with 3 already. Thank you for that. And it's really making my week go faster, as I believe it is for other Star Wars fans listening to this show. And, I'd just like to say thanks for that, and I hope this show keeps getting more popular and that you guys have fun doing it for a while, because I hope you're both still on once I'm on the fleet. Anyway, thanks. Bye.
Well, thank you, and congratulations.
Yes.
On your promotion. This is it. I can hear the promo now. I hope Jimmy Mac's listening. The Forcecast. Better than a job promotion.
You know it.
But that's really cool. I mean, the fact that, you know, he got the promotion, one thing, and he was more excited to hear his tail on the...
Hey, we'll take it.
So imagine now how he feels, having two weeks in a row. Oh, wow. All right. And our good buddy Indiana Jim is back. And he just wanted to say that he agreed with me. Take it away, Jim.
I agree with Jason. My favorite is Return of the Jedi. It was the first one I saw. And it's the best because Luke is, like, awesome. And he, like, kicks butt. And that's why. And you know what? I like Ewoks. They're freaking cool. So this is me signing off. Get off my phone.
Yeah, I'm going to keep this one. Just this part. I love this.
I agree with Jason. I agree with Jason.
Doesn't happen very often, but when it does, it is really sweet.
It is. So thank you very much, Jim, for that. Appreciate it. And yeah, I think probably of all the three original films, Jedi just is that sentimental favorite for me. Well, that's going to do it for us for this week. Boy, this show just flew by.
Every week it gets faster and faster. It's like a perpetual motion machine.
I know, and we're going to get, before you know it, we'll be in L.A. So keep the feedback and Star Wars Tales coming. You guys are doing an awesome, awesome job. You can send us the emails at podcast@theforce.net. If you have Skype, and there's no reason why you shouldn't, it's free. Well, at least it's free from Skype user to Skype user, so just look us up. Forcecast, all one word. Or you can call us on your cell phone or landline, 330-871-4TFN. That's T like the, F like force, and N like net, TFN. And don't forget to check out our official forums. We've got a great community building there, and they're part of the RebelScum.com forums. You got to scroll down to miscellaneous, and you'll see the official Forcecast forums. Get in there and shake things up.
And thank you once again to Official Picks. Again, they make everything happen here. Officialpicks.com. If you're going to C4, make sure you get on there and order your coupons now so you can speed your way through the lines and get right to the celebrities.
And thank you, Jimmy Mac. Pete, thank you. Thank you, Dustin Roberts, Jay Shepard, Dan Curto, and everyone at TheForce.net and Rebel Scum that makes this show possible. Have a happy St. Patrick's Day.
Be happy and safe.
Yes, I was going to just say, be safe out there. For the Forcecast, I'm Jason.
And I'm Pete.
And remember,
the Force will be with you. Always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of TheForce.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.